Want to take your Blue Box experience to a new level? The Blue Box Shop is now open and ready to take your orders. Our first drop is now live. Check out our sweet swag, apparel, stickers, and so much more from your favorite podcast. Show everyone you know that you like to think outside the Blue Box. Every purchase helps us produce more original Blue Box content that you love. So support the show in style by shopping at shop.blueboxdigital.com today.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Think Outside the Blue Box. I'm Anthony Rivera. I'm the lead videographer and editor here at Blue Box Digital, and welcome to the podcast. This is a podcast where we feature creative journeys, the hustlers, the entrepreneurs. And today I'm being joined by Mr. Clipsy Hustle, yes, aka sir. Kyle.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Welcome, man.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the podcast. How did you hear about the Blue Box podcast?
My friend Two Way G recommended me.
Two Way G.
You know, I saw his podcast and I watched it. It was interesting and kind of like how you broke down things, and I thought it was something I'd like to be a part of. So
yeah, that's awesome, dude. And you know, the conversations that we've had just before the podcast, I can already tell you got something to say.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's something worth listening to.
Yes, sir.
So tell me, man, what's going on with you?
Well, we're trying to run the barbershop, Plan A Barbers. We're here in Tampa, Florida, on Waters Avenue. Just trying to get everything off the ground. We've been going since right when the pandemic started is kind of when we opened. So it was a little tough time to start. But
Plan A Barbers?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I named it that, man, because I never made a Plan B. And I think sometimes when you make a Plan B, you already chose to fail. So
I like that.
So I didn't want to go with any Plan B, and Plan B is a bad name anyways. Already gets a bad rap from, yeah, you know.
From Plan B.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I was going to ask you about the name.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
cool. Yeah, that's an L blade.
Yeah. I kind of tried to use the razor blade. I tried to use the razor blade as a logo, trying to use my wits and make it an A2, kind of make a whole logo. I'm going to go with a whole brand out of it. Because I think it is a brand, you know, like sometimes like you got to go with your plan and you got to stick with it. You know, if you stick with it, things are going to happen for you.
Yeah, man. How long have you been doing the shop?
We opened in August of 2020, but I've been cutting hair since 2008.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I've been on my grind for a while and I've just stuck to it, man. It's been a hard time, you know, like in the beginning, you know, when you first start off, it's hard. No one wants to go to the new barber and, you know, at the shop, yeah, and everything. So,
I got stuck with the new barber.
Yeah. And usually they're right, though. Usually they're right. The new guy doesn't, you know, isn't as skilled and doesn't know as much, you know. So usually they're right. And at the time I wasn't as skilled as I am now. And I think I wasn't prepared enough for the opportunity that I have now. And I'm glad I have it now, you know, when I am prepared for it.
Yeah. No, that's good, man. And yeah, you're doing great.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah. Appreciate it.
You're 2AG's personal barber.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's my boy, man. Shout out to him. Hope he's got big things coming up, too. He's a hard worker, hard hustler, too. So
So
things are going to come for him, man. He's going up.
Yeah, for sure. I had the previous episode is...
K-Love.
Yeah. So he was here. He's another recommendation.
He is, man, and he like you said, man, he's another hustler too, another entrepreneur doing everything for himself, man. And like that's the hustle way, man. And you gotta do it. You gotta believe in yourself. You know, if you don't believe in yourself, no one else will. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. What made you get into hair?
Man, honestly, I was selling cars and stuff at the time. And I moved out to Los Angeles to sell cars out there. I got an opportunity out there. And I was getting some trash haircuts. And I'm from here. And like, for here in Florida, I honestly think we got the best barbers.
I think so.
And so I was out there and I was getting some kind of trash haircuts. And I ended up buying some clippers. And one of my friends that worked with me was like, hey, cut my hair too. And I was like, I don't know. But he let me cut it. And I guess I did a good job because a guy that works at the detail shop asked him who cut his hair and he said I did. And then he asked me to cut his hair and I was like, I'm not a barber. I'm a car salesman, you know? And he was like, oh, just try it. And I tried it, and then it worked out. And then after that, man, I had some problems with the sales, you know, it kind of wasn't working out for me. It wasn't what I wanted anymore. And I moved back here to Florida. And as soon as I came back, I went straight to barber school, man. And it was kind of it from there. I knew that's what I was going to do in life. Not what I wanted, but I knew that's what I was going to do. You know, I didn't want to set any negativity on it and know like I was just going to do it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you had already been doing it. So.
Right. Right. Well, loosely, you know, loosely, yeah. Not like I wasn't a master or I didn't know anything yet. I was kind of just.
But you were determined. Like as soon as you got here, you're like,
I went straight to school. And
that was your plan.
And that was my plan, man. I stuck to it, man. And I was almost getting kicked out of shops because I didn't know what I was doing yet, you know? And, yeah, man, because I wasn't doing too well. And when I first started off, I went to like one of the busiest shops in Tampa, like, and it was,
oh,
like,
damn.
Yeah. So
you were that guy.
I was, but man, you know what? Like I was determined. And yeah. What better place to learn from than with everybody else?
With the best.
And if you're going to be a part of competition, be part of the best. Don't shy away from it. So, and honestly, I kind of learned from them that I wasn't where I was supposed to be, you know? And then, you know, other stuff happened. That shop ended up closing and I ended up getting another opportunity at another shop and kind of found my way a little bit more and stuck to myself and learned what I had to do. And then not only for like cutting hair, but more of like business wise and know how to, what I didn't want out of my shop and what I didn't want out of projecting my image, you know, from what I've learned at other people.
Yeah, no, you got to maintain your brand too.
Oh yeah, and that's what I'm trying to stick with. Like I said, I think the plan A is a brand for me, and I want to make it a brand for everybody else. You know, because it's a mindset. You know, if you got to believe in yourself, man, you got to stick to it.
So you can't have a plan B.
Never, bro. Never, never.
I've heard don't have anything to fall back on.
No, I'm part of the no rear view mirror crew. I'm trying to take the rear view mirror off. I don't need anything behind me. You know.
I love that.
Yes, sir.
When did you decide to go from working at a shop to doing your own thing?
It was about almost 2 years now, but I knew I was going to do it probably about 5 years ago. And what I did, man, honestly, I wrote down what I had to do it. And
it's like a checklist.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And I've made everything happen. Like, and I didn't move on to the next step until I made it happen because I knew the steps that I needed. You know, and I didn't want to shy away from it. And I wrote them down in a notebook at the barbershop I was working at that I didn't want to work at no more. Not that I didn't want to work at, I knew I could do what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, okay, why work for somebody else when I could do what they're doing?
Yeah. Work for myself.
And for me, I felt like I wanted to provide that another safe haven for other barbers that didn't just want to work at a regular shop that no one cared, you know, like, because I care for everybody that works for me. Like, that's an extended family for me.
Yeah, we were talking about the safe haven before the podcast here.
Oh yeah.
I think and my brother has also confirmed this, that, you know, barbers are kind of therapists, you know.
We are, bro.
Barbershops are kind of the safe haven, like you said, just for people to come in and just be themselves.
And to me, bro, that's what I love the most about the shop, bro. It is the safe haven. It's the non-cancel zone. Like, you can say whatever you want in there, and like, it's going to stay there. You know, it doesn't leave. If it goes with you out the door, that's because you took it. Like, yeah. You know, and I think that's the problem with a lot of stuff that's on now, because everybody's opinion matters so much to themselves, you know, and like,
yeah,
it's okay to say things. It's okay to disagree. Like, you're supposed to disagree.
You're supposed to. Yeah.
That's how you build, you know. I don't understand the cancel thing. So that's why I love the shop. You know, it is the safe haven and the men's clubhouse almost, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It's where I go for therapy, man. It's the cheapest therapy you can find.
It is. I mean, it is. And I have had a lot of clients that are on the therapist, but I love it, bro. I really do.
You got any crazy stories? Anything that anybody's told you?
Yeah, I've got crazy stories. I got crazy experiences from like having clients. Like, I've got one of my clients that literally was like 2 months ago, which just took me to Vegas. Like, we went to Vegas.
We
went to the Jorge Masvidal and Covington fight. We stayed in a villa and stuff, man. It's all about connections, man. And it's like I was telling you earlier before we came on, I think I value the connections more than I value the dollar of the haircut, you know. And I think I value what we can connect from each other. And I think
haircut's temporary.
Haircut is going to last you 2 weeks. Like, you know, yeah. the something I could tell you or something you could tell me, we could learn from each other, could last a lifetime. And we could always build from that, you know?
Yeah. I like how all barbers have that mindset too, man. It's just like,
I wish they all did, man. Yeah. I wish they all did. I know they all don't, but I don't like speaking bad about other people. But man, like, I wish everybody does, you know? And like,
for some people, it's just a job.
For some people, and you could tell though, you know? And yeah. for me, it's not even a career. It's my life. Like, it's my lifestyle. That's all I do. I go home to my family and then I go to work. I go to the gym and go to work.
That's it. So what's next? What's next for you?
All right. So what's next is we're going to try to go with our own, like, probably our own beard oil next. Because we've been going with a beard oil company. It's been working pretty good for us. So like I was doing with the shop, I know I could do something that someone else is doing. I've learned how to do it. And now they gave me the platform where I could do it myself. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the platform to expand my brand. And I think exposure leads to expansion. And as long as I get exposed to, you know, other things, I can expand my brand. And that's all I'm trying to do.
I love that, man. How else do you expand your brain?
Just, you know, so right now, social media as much as possible. And like we were talking about, like how I found out about this referral, man, the referral system has literally got me where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Other than the social media and passing out flyers and all that stuff, how I treat people makes people want to reciprocate it back to me. It makes people want to tell their friends about me, you know?
Yeah, you're and more approachable.
And I think that's what has to do with valuing the relationships, you know, and valuing each person, you know? I don't have to go out and pass out the flyers or make a big social media presence because people value me as much as I value them.
Just make a big enough impact.
Exactly.
They'll do the marketing for you.
Oh, exactly.
Is barbering your only project? Or are you working on other stuff?
Yeah, right now it's the only project.
Yeah.
Hopefully soon enough it'll be like commercial real estate is what I really want to get into. But
yeah
right now, you know, sticking with the plan A, bro.
No plan B.
Never. But yeah, also upcoming in August, man, we're going to have another, we do a book bag drive in August, and where we do, we give away book bags and free haircuts and food and all that stuff for the community. So we're trying to do that every year before school starts.
Nice. Like a back to school event.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We did it last year, man. It was real successful. We gave out everything that we had to give away. And, we're trying to make it bigger every year. What I really would love to do, bro, is trying to reach out to other shops where we could possibly get like maybe like an event center and have like, where we have like eight of us, you know, eight shops, and we all get together and we can reach out to more people, or, you know, exposure leads to expansion. We can expand to more people and get more people some help, you know, cause we take from the community a lot. We receive a lot of, you know, love from the community. Might as well give it back, bro.
Yeah.
If we make good money, give it back. Yeah. We have to reinvest back to what's given it to us.
Yeah. I like that. That's cool.
I mean, okay. So so the next project for me really, really is the building that I'm renting from. I'm trying to purchase, which I've set all my business. Like I've been in my business game for a minute now. Like I've learned self-taught on everything, bro. I did
the entrepreneurship.
Oh yeah, man. I'm talking about, I've owned my LLC. I turned my LLC into an S corp. I'm trying to go even bigger. Like, because I need to own the building where I'm at. I need to own the land.
Yeah.
Because owning land is everything, you know. It's not about having something, it's about how long you can have it. And if I could purchase the land, I could have it forever. No one will ever be able to kick me out or my family. And I plan on leaving it to my kids, you know, because I want them to have something to stand on.
Yeah.
So the building that I'm at, I'm currently already in negotiations with purchasing. And what I really would love to do, bro, when it's all said and done, is to turn that into a barber school.
Okay. Because
there's two other units next to it. And I've already kind of have going like full circle and mentoring kids that are trying to learn, you know, how to cut hair. I'm teaching them the mistakes I made and the stuff that I did and the mistakes that, or what not to do. And then also the other thing on the business aspect of things, because as young barbers and young entrepreneurs, no one teaches you that. You know, they don't teach you how to go purchase your own LLC and to own your own business, because owning yourself means everything. Unless you want to pay taxes and to all that other stuff. And I'm down for writing stuff off and trying to lower my taxes and lower everything as much as I can. That's why everything I wear is branded, you know, because yeah. I'm trying to write everything. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And not only that, but I'm also, you know, advertising for myself.
Yeah, you got to represent the brand.
I'm not at McDonald's. I don't have a, mm-hmm. you know, a big sign outside. I have myself and I have my reputation.
I don't have Super Bowl money.
I don't have Super Bowl money. I have a reputation that I'm going to stand on. You know what I'm saying? And I've built that and I'm going to stand on it. And I make sure that I can expand out and it's going to be big. You know, like when I open that school, it's going to be awesome. And I can teach everybody what I learned. Because I think they didn't teach us the financial stuff in school, like as the barber school. They taught us how to do fades and learn
the
how to do
technical
yeah. stuff. But they don't teach you how to take care of yourself, how to set up yourself for the future. You know, like how to take care of your kids while you're doing this. How to take care of yourself during a pandemic when we shut down for 2.5 months. How could you do that if you didn't set up yourself financially? Most people, we make cash every day. So a lot of people tend to spend it every day.
Because they have it in hand. Yeah.
It's in hand. It tends to go in and out, you know? So, but man, as long as you set yourself up, you're fine. You're I was good. Able to, during the whole thing, man, I was able to not have to cut hair, go to people's house and try to like set a haircut up so I can make money because I set myself up.
You were good.
Yeah. Because proper preparation prevents piss poor performance. You know what I'm saying? So as long as you set yourself up, you'll be fine. It's like a squirrel, man. The squirrel stacks his nuts and he knows what's coming. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't just stack his nuts and just eat away. No.
He doesn't care what you think.
Yeah. Stack up yeah. I'm nuts. Working on me. You know, yeah. I'm not going to worry about anybody else. So that's what I, and I was lucky, Bo, to be able to do that. And then on the outside of it, as soon as it was over, able to still open my shop, have like a grand opening, open my shop and do the book bag drive and all that stuff. The same year. So like if you set yourself up, man, you're determined to win, you know, and that's all that matters, bro. And it's all about believing in yourself, the mentality.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about doing a course, like an online course?
For like teaching people?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And someone else was telling me to do it, but prior to about 5 months ago, I was hella cringy to be in front of like a camera and a mic and stuff, honestly. And then like I got to a point where if I'm going to brand myself, man, I got to don't worry about being cringy. Yeah. And I can't worry about what I'm worried about because if I like it, someone might love it, you know, and that's all that matters.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't get all inside your head about it.
Nah, man. I really was at first because I'm older. Like I'm not from the generation of being in front of.
Yeah. And I'm a videographer, so I'm used to being behind the camera.
You're on the opposite side. Yeah. So how's it for you? It's a lot
for
different.
Me, yeah. Originally it was very awkward. It was very like panic inducing.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd you get over it?
Just doing it, man. Just doing it over and over and over again. Just
by yourself though, or with like, did you train with anybody?
With guests. Yeah, man. So when you first started, it was the first episode.
No way. And that was like your first time?
Yeah.
Really?
That was my first time doing it.
See, so that's hella brave too, bro. You believed in yourself. That's the same thing. You stuck with yourself. The same thing, bro. Because for me, like, until I literally just started doing like the Instagram and like TikTok, like where I show myself. Mm-hmm. I've shown my work before, but not before. Like I'm a videographer, camera like you were. Yeah. And it's not so much camera shy. It's like, that's just not me. And what's really crazy is like, bro, when I was like in third grade, fourth grade, they shot a movie here in Tampa. It's called Cop and a Half.
Bro, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was in the movie, bro.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I was in a couple, like, bro, like a lot of scenes in the movie. And I don't know if it was like from being there, like, and having to do like, bro, I was like I told you, like third grade, fourth grade, like makeup and sitting there all the time where they were like, like behind. And then I was like having to learn stuff at that age. And it was really weird.
Cause they just threw you into the wolves.
Man. Yeah, because what happened was I was at a school that was like literally right next to the way we're recording, and they're going to try to find like stunt doubles or like doubles for the kids, bro. And I really, really looked just like this one kid that was like in the movie. And they're like, I was in like science class or something. They're like, you, they're like, come here. And like, nice. I went out there and they're like, we need you to be in. Do you know how to ride a bike? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, can you be in a movie? I was like, could you call my parents? Like, what? So yeah, and then bro, literally right after that, I don't know if it was after or before, the Super Bowl was here. And all right, so my sister was like in ballet and everything, and they had to open like a casting call.
Yeah.
And she went to go try out, and I was literally there after football practice. in like a little football uniform and everything. And my sister was trying out dancing to literally be in the Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh my God.
And I was sitting on the side with my mom in a little football uniform, and they're like, "Hey, him." And they're like, "Do you want to be in the Super Bowl halftime show?" And I was like, "I'm like playing with a football." I was like, "No." And I felt bad for my sister. She's trying to do it, and I didn't
want. You don't even want it,
bro. And they put me center stage and everything. Damn. With New Kids on the Block and stuff. Bro.
Get out of here.
Yeah, bro. So like,
you're
I think
lucky as hell.
Lucky, yeah. But since then, I've been scarred with the camera. You know what I mean? I've been scarred with the camera. I couldn't live up to the expectations after New Kids on the Block, bro. Yeah, like, there's no way.
You can't top that.
There's no way.
No, that's cool, man. Yeah, you gotta get over it. And I figured, like, even since I was little, man, I suffered from panic attacks and stuff.
Really?
So, yeah. I always had stage fright. Always had, you know, like, I worked for a company that had like an overhead paging system. Mm. I hated overhead paging. Just hearing my own voice, just.
And that's the thing too, man. Like, just hearing your own voice sometimes is kind of cringy because you never get to see or hear yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when you do, it's kind of like.
Is that what I look like?
How people perceive me? You know, like, and it's like, well, everybody perceives you differently. You know what I'm saying? You could be somebody to somebody, but it could be somebody different to somebody else, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I mentioned earlier. You just got to get out of your head about it. You know?
Oh, it's
if it's cringy, it's cringy, but you'll find an audience.
But there's somebody that likes your cringe.
Exactly.
You know, there's somebody, and there might be hundreds of thousands of people that like it.
Hey, so far I've had almost 30 episodes, so at least 30 people like my cringe.
Well, yeah, and you got a referral, you know, so I liked your cringe, bro. Like, I was down for it.
Awesome, man. I appreciate that. I'll keep it up.
Yeah, and then like, for me, I was like, good for me, like, a good opportunity for me, too, to try to, like, get myself out there and try to get over it too, you know, like, because, man, it's ain't nothing to it but to do it. Like,
exactly.
You know, like, honestly, Nike's literally got the best phrase of just do it, bro. Like, it's literally the best.
Just do it. Yeah, this is very simple, but it's so powerful.
It is. I had it on my phone as my like alarm clock when I wake up.
Yeah,
like, to turn it off, like the screensaver. It was just do it, but then it also said yesterday. It said yesterday, you said tomorrow. And I think that's another powerful
like
one too,
that.
You know, because like everybody's always like, "Oh, I'll get to it tomorrow" or whatever. And well, you don't know if tomorrow's gonna come.
Today's yesterday's
tomorrow. Today is yesterday's tomorrow, you know, and today's price isn't yesterday's price either though, you know.
We got a poet in the house. Oh, that's awesome, man. So anything that you kind of ran into in your entrepreneurial journey that, you know, you kind of had to learn on your own, because
honestly all of it, and honestly I learned a lot of it with my wife, to be honest. And I think as men we need to learn that, like, you know, a good woman isn't behind you, she's beside you.
Oof, I love
you know
that.
What I'm saying, because behind you means like you don't know what's behind your back, you know what I'm saying, but beside you, she's going to stand there with you through everything, you know what I'm saying, and she's going to learn with you, she's there windshield with you. If you take the front, she takes the front. You know what I'm saying?
It's a team effort.
It
man.
Is, bro. And then it's the same. Like, you're there with her. Mm-hmm. So it's the same, bro. But I learned a lot, bro. And
was she an entrepreneur?
No, she's a paralegal.
Okay.
So we kind of learned the legality side through her. And, like, she would tell me stuff that I need to do. And, like, or we would learn stuff through, like, she's a, like a bookworm. So she would like to learn stuff. Mm-hmm. And, man, I'm with it, too. Like, as much as I want to, you know, have fun and all that stuff, I need to do it too, because if I'm going to be a business, I have to be the business.
You got to know it. Yeah.
I have to. I can't learn to, or you're going to pay other people to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather pay my wife.
Nice.
I'd rather pay her because the money stays in house, you know? So I don't got to take it out nowhere. But yeah, man, we've learned a lot, man. We learned, you know, the LLC thing, like we were talking about, man. And I turned it into the S-Corp, man. And like, the benefits of all that stuff, bro.
Well, really. What is the benefits? Let's go into that, because I've been thinking about doing an S-Corp,
because
I got my LLC, but I want to,
man, a lot more taxable stuff, man.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to write more stuff off, more like you write your car off, like your gas now, especially with the gas prices, bro.
Yeah.
If you can prove that you're using your car to go make, you know, transactions for whatever your
for
business
sure.
is, man.
Yeah.
And it doesn't
and
have
stuff.
To, bro, it doesn't even have to be major, you know. Bro, you can almost, honestly, you can use your S-Corp to take a vacation and write that all off. Like, it's really easy. Like, you could prove, all you have to do is prove that you worked a half a business day, right? So the way you could do it is you take your half a business day on Friday, you get a travel day business, a free travel day business. So you travel there Friday, you work the half a day, 9 to 11 or 9 to 12. You know, for me, I did like 3 haircuts. Yeah. I could prove it. You know, I did.
That's it.
I did a couple of haircuts as my business, or I went there, I did a haircut and I sold some beard oil, some product. That's me going, presenting my business. Boom. I have a weekend off because you can have a weekend off, and then you have your travel day again. So boom. Now I paid for, or I spent my whole weekend out there. And at the end of the year, I could write this expense off because it was a business travel.
Nice.
So little things like that, and then learning things, you know, like what else can you do? Like how can I use it to help me not spend so much at the end of the year, or like branding? How can I use it all as write-offs? Like I can literally buy my whole crew at the shops for shirts for the whole week. You know, you guys have shirts in different colors and all that stuff.
I see.
And for me, that's one, it's branding. It's a uniform for everybody. Everybody comes in. You don't go to Chick-fil-A and everybody's wearing a different shirt. Everybody has the same shirt there. I want the same thing for my brand. You know, I want it to be just like Chick-fil-A. I want the customer service and the brand just the same, you know?
Yeah.
Because you don't go to Chick-fil-A and have a bad time.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I wanted the same thing. And so stuff like that, and learning how to, you know, put your money in the right spot to build your brand and to save yourself as a personal tax. You know what I'm saying? Like for me with the insurance and everything too, if something happens at my shop, mm-hmm. I get sued, it goes under my insurance. You're not going to come take my house from me.
Exactly.
I might lose some things from the business, but I can just close that LLC and open another one.
Gotcha.
My shop's going to be there. It might be Plan A Barber without an S, but I'm still going to be there. I'll open up another thing and I'm not going nowhere. Instead of you coming and taking my house, I got nowhere to live and everything. You know, it's something that is not attached to my personal stuff.
It's all under the
LLC or the S Corp. Correct.
Okay.
Honestly, it's crazy, but my TikTok algorithm is all on stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know your algorithm,
like money management.
Your algorithm is what you set it up for. So like,
I agree with that.
It's crazy. It's crazy. All right. So it's crazy. So like in China, the algorithm is completely
different. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all about like entrepreneur stuff. Like engineering and stuff like that. Here they try to dumb it down and it's, you know, dances and stuff like that, or it's whatever you want it to be. And if you want it to be educational, it can be, or if you want it to be motivational, it can be. You want it to be just fun, it can be. I'm trying to learn in my spare time, you know, I need to learn in my spare time because I have two kids. I have one, both of them are boys. So I need them to be, or to see somebody doing it, you know, right in front of them. Mm-hmm. So they know it's possible.
It's an example.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You got to be the example you want to see.
Oh yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of time, or I heard something, it was like, would your 14-year or 15-year-old self be proud of who you are now? You know, and I think that says a lot. Like sometimes if you were 15, you're like, yo, look at this 40-year-old dude. Like that's just, or yo, look at this guy. Like I want to be like him when I grow up. If I still want to be like him when I grow up, then I'm him, you know?
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Like I love living that life. And I am like, right. Cause I think
that's the only person you have to impress is your 14-year-old self.
You're the only person you live your whole life with. Like
you can't escape yourself.
You can't. And then you know, you can write off your jewelry and all that stuff too.
Really?
Yeah. But you're going to have to. All right. So you can use it. So you can use your S Corp too. Once again, as in investing. Like if I want to use investing properties under my LLC, okay. Investing is still, it can be any minerals. Gold is a mineral. So if I wanted to buy a chain, which is, let's just say the chain's $10,000.
Get out of here,
bro. It's an investment, and then
the mineral.
It's an investment in the mineral, and then if you put your logo on it, like a pendant or whatever, that can even go even deeper as into what's called a costume for your brand.
Get out of here.
Bro, I'm telling you, look it up. Yeah, and then at the end of the year, you know, you can, let's say you have $30,000 in write-off. If your chain and your pendant was $15,000, that's what you
take.
That's what you take away, bro. Dang. So you're only going to pay $15,000 on your taxes instead of 30, and you get your chain and charm. It's a lot of
stuff. You heard it here first, guys.
It's a lot of stuff you can learn, yeah. Man. There's a lot of stuff you can learn, yeah.
Yeah, no, I've heard also the life insurance where you can take money from it.
Yeah, so I learned that one too. And I think, bro, honestly, after I got my life insurance, once again, shout out to my wife, bro. Like, she made me, bro.
She made sure she knew the importance.
She made me, bro, because, like, it is important for our kids and our family, you know? And before, I was kind of naive to it, as in, like, I'm going to be around forever, old type man stuff.
Everybody says.
You're not, you know? And I think sometimes it takes you seeing some kings fall to realize that you can be touched, too, or,
you
like...
You can be next.
I learned, bro, it's crazy. I had my stuff before, like, Kobe passed and everything, but I learned a lot from, like, Kobe. It was like, yo, bro, anybody, anytime. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. You can be on the top of the world, but it could be your time.
In a snap of a second, yeah.
It could be your time. So, man, you better protect everything you got. But, yeah, man, the life insurance thing, I have one where I can even pull out of my life insurance. Like, let's say I've been paying it 30 years, and I pay $150 a month. So
you got all that stacked up.
I got all that stacked up. So if I want to retire and be like, hey, let me get all that, I can get all that, all the money that I've put into it, and then realistically buy another insurance, you know, get another insurance. But at that time, you're probably going to be old and it's going to be harder to get insurance. So it's better to do it now.
Yeah.
And then, bro, you don't want to leave somebody else another burden when you pass either. Yeah. Like, that is terrible.
That's what it's about too, man.
That is terrible. And, bro, I don't want someone else taking care of my family, bro.
Yeah.
I really don't. And I feel like if I can work right now, and the work that I do will take care of my family when I'm gone, then, bro, why not pay for it? What's the worst that's going to happen?
Yeah, you can't take it with you.
Bro, you sure can't take it with you. And what's going to happen if you take it with you? Nothing.
It's going to rot, yeah.
Nothing. It's going to mold. Yeah. It's going to mold. Like any other paper that you bury, it's going to mold, bro.
Yeah.
Bro, life insurance, health insurance, especially for, you know.
That's one thing I need.
You don't have health insurance?
No.
Yeah, you should invest in that too. What happens if you, all right, you're on your podcast.
Yeah.
You know, you got, God willing, we don't want it to happen. Let's say you have to, something happens with your tooth. You can't talk.
Like, my podcast suffers.
Or you got a mean gap right here. Who wants to watch you with that? Who wants to watch you with the laudable incisors are missing, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so true, like, man. But little things like that, man, and you don't realize like, but it is the little things that you sacrifice that mean everything in the end.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy because before I was so naive, bro. I didn't want to get the health insurance. I didn't want to get life insurance.
Like you said, you don't think you need it.
Yeah. But man, like you really don't. Yeah. You think you don't, you know, until stuff happens, man. Like, bro, literally I was playing like a pickup game of football with my kids. At Lopez Park.
Oh, damn.
And I stepped in some leaves, and boy, I thought I pulled my groin. Old 38-year-old groin came out, bro. And I was limping around for like 3 days, and I was like, man, if I can't work, you know, because you're like me. If you don't work, you don't get paid, bro. If I'm not behind the chair or like.
The bills ain't getting paid.
They're not getting paid. I mean, I got the other guys that work at the shop that, you know, rent for, but that's not the same, man. Like I need to work, bro. I'm a provider, so I feel like I need to be out there doing it, you know?
That need, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I have to be, bro. I have to. You got your life insurance too?
No.
Oh, man. Yeah, bro.
I'm slacking. And my brother's a life insurance salesman.
The barber?
Yeah. No, the other one.
Oh, I was about to say, he dibbles and dabbles?
Nah.
I was about to say, he's killing it. He's a hustler for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I think it's important, bro, especially having a family, bro. Like, for me, like, I was like, man, I would never want another dude coming in my house.
Taking care of business.
Because not even take care, like, providing. Yeah. Providing for what's mine. You know what I'm saying? Like, no way, bro. And it really is cheaper than a lot of people think. And for me, as a barber, I deal in cash every day. Mm-hmm. So I found a concept for me that worked where it didn't even affect my income, really. So I learned a thing from a class I took from another barber, DL Master Barber. And, bro, it literally made me like $5,000 a year, literally over $5,000 a year in this one concept, bro. So what he told me is save every first haircut you make of every day. He's like, how many days of work you work? I was like, I work six. He's like, how much you charge? At the time, I was charging $25. And he's like, save that. Save the first haircut you
just
made.
Just the first.
He's like, I don't care if you do 3 haircuts that day. Save the first haircut. And I was like, all right, bro. And then I would look down by the end of the week. You know, you got like $150. Boom, that adds up. By the end of the month, you know, you got a certain amount. And then by the end of the year, bro, I had like $5,000. And I was like, no way. And it was all cash. And I was like, oh, man.
Nice.
And then so I thought about it. I was like, if I'm able to save that and it's just cash, if I put it towards my life insurance, I'm thinking about saving $5,000. What about saving my wife and my kids when I'm gone? That $5,000 ain't going to save them. That's not even, bro, that's not paying for the taxes on that's not paying for the taxes on your funeral. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's not putting you in a casket, nothing. No. You're getting a Walmart casket, you know, like, and I can't go out like that.
Crate.
I can't go out like that, bro. And nor do I want my family to go out like that. So like, I had to make, like again, I said, I got my two boys, but I want to make sure that they're okay too, you know? And they know that I can still take care of them when I'm gone.
Yeah.
You know,
my daddy did that.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm worth way more gone than I am alive. But don't let the little Menendez brothers know that. You know?
I got 2 kids.
Do you?
Yeah.
Boys or girls?
1 girl, 1 boy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I call them kids, but they're teenagers now.
Really?
Yeah, how old? My daughter's 16. My son is 14.
Yeah, my oldest is 17.
Oh,
my
yeah?
oldest is 17. They're driving?
My oldest is starting. Yeah, she got her permit.
It's so dangerous, dude. It is so dangerous. Are you helping teach her?
Yeah. I taught her.
How are you with it?
It's nerve wracking for sure.
It's super nerve wracking, right? Are you in your car? Or your wife's
in
car?
In my car.
Oh,
in my car.
Even worse. Yeah. So I got a charger. So my son's trying to learn in mine, and bro, he was so heavy footed, bro. And he's like, it's so different than mom's. And I was like, yeah, bro.
Take it easy.
but he got it, man. And then my youngest is 10, so he's still a little.
Oh, okay.
But I have 2 boys, man. And then the youngest one, bro, he's hilarious. The oldest one, he's learned a lot, man. And then, like, he's seen me do it all. And he's seen me mature through it all. And we were talking the other day. And it kind of got me to a point where I almost teared up. I got proud of myself. And I think of men, bro, we need to be proud of ourselves, bro. You need to have that moment with yourself where, like, where you're proud of what you're doing. You know, even if where you're at is where you're at. It's where you're at before you were. You know, like, you didn't start right here.
Yeah.
So,
I'm not at the start line anymore.
Yeah, nah. And he told me, he was like, man, I remember when, because, you know, like I was telling you before, when I started off, it was hard, man. It was a struggle. Like, no one wants to go to the new barber.
Yeah.
So I didn't have the best car. I had like a little old Altima. He's like, I remember when you had that and you told me you wanted to get the charger. Because I've had 2 chargers. And he was like, I remember when you told me that you wanted to get the charger and then you got it. And I was like, yeah. And then he said, I remember you wanted to upgrade and get the other charger. And you're like, you wanted to get it and you got it. And then I remember you telling me you wanted to never work for somebody and own your own spot, and you do it now. And he's like, I was proud of you. And then for me hearing that from my son, which to me is like,
that's big, man.
Dude, it really was. And for me, like, that's like, as much as he looks up to me, I look up to him, bro, because like, if it wasn't for him, bro, I wouldn't have pushed myself like that. You know what I'm saying? Because I needed him to believe in me as much as I did myself, which is, I think, is some deep stuff. You know, like, because there's times where you don't believe in yourself.
There's a lot of times.
You know, but you got to stick to it, bro. And then when I made my plan, you know, what I wanted to do, bro, I knew I could never fail, bro. And I knew I could never fail with him looking at me, you know, like, and I didn't want him to see me as a failure or to give up, because I don't.
It's not an option.
It is not an option, bro. Zero options.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my kids inspire me too, man. And sometimes you learn more from them than they learn from you.
Like, bro.
Because they're straight up.
They, you know what? It's crazy is we lose that as as adults, you know? Like, think about it, bro. Like a 5 or 6-year-old kid will come up to you and be like, why are you so fat? And then you're... But like,
damn, I am fat.
And think about it though, like, one of your friends will be like, do I look fat in this? And you'd be like, nah, bro.
You're good, bro.
Instead of being like, nah, bro.
You look a little chunky.
Yeah, you look a little chunky, bro. You know, I kind of, the honesty of kids, but that goes back to the safe haven of the barbershop, bro. We will roast you.
Yep.
You know, we will roast you and be honest with you.
You gotta have some thick skin.
But that's why I'm still so young, bro, because I live that life. I still live like a kid. I love what I do, you know, so I get to live that every day, you know, which is awesome.
That's important, man.
It's the most important thing in life, bro. I think personal freedom is the most important thing in this world, bro. And like, as long as you can go to work or you live your every day and smile, bro, you're free.
You're done.
You know? Yeah, it doesn't matter, bro. You got the chance to wake up, bro.
Yeah. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Highly successful and efficient people all have one thing in common. They all read, or at least listen. Now listeners of the show can get a free audiobook when you sign up for a free 30-day trial of Audible. You can keep the book even if you decide to cancel. Go to audible.blueboxdigital.com to sign up today. And now, on with the show. You said that barbering was not your first love. What was your
bro? Honestly,
what is that thing?
What I would have loved to do besides this would have been like airplane engineering, like trying to fix like helicopters or airplanes and stuff like that.
Nice.
Yeah, man. My cousin's in the Air Force. He flies like a KC-10, which is like a refueling stuff, bro. And when I was younger, I thought that was like, that was the coolest thing. Then like when we were younger, you remember Top Gun, bro? Come on, bro.
Hell yeah.
And like, there's no way I would like, I loved that, bro. And then I just thought it was a different thing than being like a regular like car mechanic or something too. And then like, it's very like
plane mechanic.
Yeah. And then, and I love to fly too. I like to travel too. So I thought that was always awesome. But I guess the road I was taking definitely didn't put me there, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm glad, bro. I'm glad I am where I am because I get to live the personal freedom every day, bro. Like I don't have anybody I have to ask when I want a day off, which would be different if I was an airplane mechanic.
Oh,
you know?
For sure.
You know, and I that's all I get to do is live my life.
Yeah.
If I want to go somewhere, I go. I don't have to ask.
Yeah, the freedom to
do it. I close my little book, my book for the day or whenever, and that's it, bro. And I love being like my age right now, being able to travel with my wife and like being able to experience
and enjoy it. Yeah, enjoy your two boys,
bro. And I think because like setting myself up through the LLC, S Corp, financially and all that stuff, preparing myself definitely put us in the position where we're able to do this stuff now, as in before, like where I was dumb with the money, didn't know how to handle stuff because it's a daily in and out cash business every day. You think, oh, I'm gonna make that tomorrow. Well, it's your paycheck, my boy. You're not gonna make that tomorrow.
Yep.
You're supposed to save that for tomorrow, you know, like instead of spend it, you know.
Yeah, like you said, kind of set yourself up for the days that you're not gonna get paid.
Absolutely. Absolutely, bro, because who thought that pandemic was gonna happen?
Yeah,
I didn't think it was gonna
nobody
happen.
Did
and then when it did, bro, it was a shock to everybody, and it was a reality check for a lot of people set up, you know. And then I think, like, again, the preparation, you know, if you didn't prep yourself, it definitely showed at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you got to stay on your grind, bro. You got to, because some life's gonna happen. It's gonna knock you down.
It's going to. It's just a matter of when.
100%. 100%. And it's about being prepared to get back up, bro. You're gonna get back up, but just know how to.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. If you set yourself up enough, you know, you can withstand those.
Bro, you're supposed to take L's. Like L's, like me. All right. So me and my oldest son, bro, we got a great saying. And like, I always like, we've been going to this since he was younger. And it's like, I was like, so what's a mistake? And a mistake is like, it's just an opportunity to learn. That's all a mistake is. And it's okay. Whether do you learn from your mistake you made or you don't learn from it, that is the mistake. You know what I'm saying? But all it is the opportunity to learn. Yeah. And there's there's obviously you're going to take life lessons, but it's on what you learn from your mistakes.
Yeah.
Because that's all it is, another opportunity.
That's why I don't really agree with this participant trophy stuff that they're doing at schools now.
I hate
it's like
it.
Everybody wins.
I hate it, dude.
You have to learn to lose. So, like, that's part of life.
So my son was, he plays basketball now. He's but a great basketball player. He's played sports his whole life, but I've been his coach since he was like six, seven years old. Coached him till high school.
Nice.
So, but always they come with a participation, like awards or ribbons and stuff, and I never really gave it to him because I wanted, unless we won, You know, if you win,
and then you can celebrate.
Then, well, yeah, it's just like people going out that are broke, going out to the club. What are you celebrating? Yeah. That's a participation award. You going out to the club broke. That's a participation award, bro. I swear to God. Damn. It's terrible. That's terrible. That's now age participation award.
Yeah.
You can't do that. And I think now, and he has a job and everything now, and if he has a certain amount of money, bro, he won't go out. He won't spend it. He'll even come ask me to buy him lunch and or whatever because he's trying to make sure he's okay.
Yeah.
And which I know he learned from just observing me, mm-hmm. which I think is the most rewarding thing in life, bro. Like knowing that he's watching when
it's
I'm not.
It's crazy to see some of the shit that you've taught kind of come back to you.
Bro, full circle.
It happens
and
all
then,
the time.
And then what's even more crazy about it is you see the stuff that your parents taught you that you were like, yep. Man, I'll never do that. And you see stuff that your parents taught you through your own kids. And it's like, wow. Well, I guess that's maturity, you know, like, and I
you
guess
you can't see it until you're physically in those shoes.
Bro, I remember, like, I felt like my dad when I was teaching my son how to drive, bro. Like, I was saying, slow down,
yeah,
bro, slow, what are you doing? And the first time was crazy. Like, the first time we argued, we went back to the house, and my wife's like, what's going on? I was like,
it's like, I ain't never doing that again.
So he put it in manual and was driving in first gear. She's like, why'd you let him do that? And what you mean let him do it? So yeah, man, but yeah, it's all full circle, bro. And then you see stuff you learn, and I think it's as a parent it's very rewarding because like you know that brother they're watching when you're not paying attention, and
for
I think
sure.
that makes you tighten up even more. And I learned that, bro, coaching baseball. It's a terrible story, but I learned to coach in baseball. I was literally coaching the game, bro, and these kids look up to me. They love me. And I love the kids, bro. Like, I love, because, like, they're what's next, bro. And I think what's wrong with a lot of the generation now is, like, us as our age, we don't take it as we are the OGs for them. And we need to show them some lessons, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, everything, let's slide now. Oh, you know how they are. No. They need to be checked because we were checked. Bro, I'm from the 80s, bro. They checked us bad.
I'm
you
an
know?
80s kid, yeah.
I'm an 80s kid. If I got it, you got it.
Yeah.
You know, and then for me, you're not going to change the rules in the third quarter on me. Like, I'm on my third quarter of my life, bro. You're not going to change the rules now. So, like.
It's too late now.
So, yeah, man, I was coaching, and then it was at the end of the game. We had a game, and then I got a phone call that I was upset about, and I was out in the parking lot cussing, bro. Like, I was going in on the phone. And there was one of the little kids that's always quiet, bro. He was like, bro, like 10 feet from me. And I didn't know because I was, you know, upset and on the phone. Yeah. And then I turned around. He was like, Coach Kyle, I didn't know you cursed. And I was like, oh, bro. It like literally like I felt like the biggest piece of shit ever. And then I knew at that point that like they're watching when we're not paying attention. So it's on us to always be on point. You know, if you want to be that role model, just know that they are always watching. You know, so it's up to you to always be on point as well. You know, for me, I hold that dear because I know like I got people that are younger that are watching me, bro. And I want them to know that everything that is possible, bro, if you stick to it and you do everything right. If you do wrong stuff's gonna happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's when you're young, bro, you look like your family. The older you get, you look like the decisions you make.
Yeah.
And that's simple.
That is so true.
It is simple, bro. You look when everybody's young, you look like your family. The older you get, you look like the decisions you make.
Yeah.
If you make bad decisions, you look terrible.
You're going to look like shit. Yeah.
Exactly. If you make good decisions, you look like $1 million, you know? So it's all on decisions, bro.
What's your 10-year plan? Where do you
Oh man, yeah, like I was saying the 10-year plan for me is to own the building. And to run a barber school, man. I want to see not even a barber school, but a successful barber school that people really learn the business from.
Yeah.
Not just the hair cutting, but the actual business of being successful from behind the chair and how you can make your money from behind the chair make you different type of money. You know, because you need a different source of income besides just the chair.
Yeah.
You know, and once you can do that from learning how to set yourself up, then everything else will be successful for you. And I think they don't teach us that as, you know, as barbers. They definitely didn't teach that in school.
Yeah, no, for sure. And like, I think my brother and I talked about this. The school system is setting you up to be an employee. is setting you up to be an employee.
It really is. And I heard a thing, bro, like you either work on your dream or you're going to work for somebody else's.
Yeah.
And bro, I'm not doing that no more, bro. I am not doing that no more, bro. If I'm working on my dream, it's on mine. So I learned how to set myself up. And like we were saying, bro, they don't teach you that. So it's kind of one of them things of it's discipline, bro. And your discipline has to be on learning on how to master your craft. The craft isn't just cutting hair, bro. Like the craft is the business.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you got to constantly evolve too. You got to constantly learn new things.
Bro, that's important in everything, bro.
Efficiency. Yeah.
Bro, crazy. In everything. You have to, whatever, what, if you're not learning more, whatever you're doing, bro,
you're stuck.
You're being stagnant.
You're stuck.
You know, and like that becomes a puddle outside. No one wants that.
Yeah. I remember a long, long time ago, I had my mom, she took me to one of those like supercut places.
Ooh.
And there was this lady that I told her, I just want to fade. And she's like, what? And I'm like, you about to do a fade on me. You don't know what a fade is. And she was an older lady. So right. That's what I'm saying. It's like she didn't keep up with the times.
And nowadays, man, with the Instagram and the TikTok and all that stuff, bro, it's a little bit easier to keep up with the times. And kind of shame on you if you don't.
Yeah.
But
it's all there.
It is all there. Like we were talking about, the algorithm is what you want it to be, man. Yeah. And if you want it to be educational, if you want to waste your time, then it's going to let you waste your time. Yeah. But
it's going to give you what you want.
It's going to give you exactly what you want. You're 100% right. So for me, I've been in the game 14 years. And I'll watch somebody's like Instagram or TikTok and learn something new. Or
something clicks, yeah.
It clicks. Or I see something different and be like, man, I could try that, or let me try that. And I got one of the homies at the shop that's bald. He'll grow stubble out and I'll try something on him, but we shave it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's a rough draft and I get to learn on him instead of somebody that's paying for it, you know?
Do you do any crazy designs?
I'm not really, no. Not really, but I will.
Yeah.
But I don't, that kind of is like, it's not that popular no more. It kind of was, and then it'll come back for like, a little bit, but it doesn't stay around that
if
much.
If somebody famous does it, it'll come back.
That Kanye thing, you seen what he did to his hair? Oh my God.
That's wild.
I wish he would have let me do it. I wish he would have let me do it. I would have got paid for that.
Yeah.
And wrote it off. I would have flew out there and wrote it off. I would have took the whole weekend.
I'm learning so much right now.
I would have took the weekend and wrote it off. Bro, I'm telling you. We just went to Vegas with one of the homies, bro. And I'm gonna use it as a write-off at the end of the year. Because I can prove I cut hair. I can do all types of stuff. I did
promotion.
I end up hooking marketing. Up with Trio 5, which is Jorge Masvidal's like rolling papers and like apparel company. Bro, I linked in with those guys and like they're going to try to sell their apparel out of my shop now.
Oh,
so,
no shit.
Which is, bro, just going out there and like that was branding. So like low key, I can say I went to a branding event.
Yeah.
You know, which and that was really just a cool event that I ended up linking up with some other Miami dudes. You know what I'm saying? Which
so
is cool.
Cool.
Yeah. And for me, like that's one of my favorite fighters, and I ran into like their crew and I was like, yo, this is a cool opportunity. And then they're like, you're from Florida? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I got a shop. And
And then bro, and then they saw the spot we were standing because we stayed in the villa. And they saw, like, on my Instagram, they saw what we were saying, and they're like, oh. They thought I was the big dog, and I was like, nah, that's him. But I'm with him.
Yeah.
And then
it's the connections you make, man.
Again, bro.
Without him, you wouldn't have been there.
Again, it's the relationships, bro. And it is the connections, you know? Like, they take you along places, bro. Like, bro, I've been with DMX, like, DMX backstage, and, like,
nice.
Bro, but a lot of cool stuff, you know, just from interacting with
just
the right
talking
people.
To people, yeah.
And treating people how they want to be treated, bro. Because at the end of the day, everybody wants to be treated nice. They're not going to remember what you did. They're going to remember how you treated them.
Yep.
and that's real.
Yeah. No, Two-Way and I were talking about that, how him and I met through networking. It was just podcast that was being shot here, and he was just one of the guests.
Oh, really? And, with Chris?
No, it was, I can't remember. Was it Alex?
Okay. Yeah, I saw that one too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I met Two-Way, and then we kept in touch.
And
now you're here,
bro. And shout out to him, bro. He's gonna do his thing too, bro.
Yeah,
I'm really proud of that guy, bro. And I think the sky's the limit for him, bro. As long as
he's just getting started.
Exactly. As long as he sticks to his plan, bro, and he sticks, bro. The kid's got an amazing work ethic. Like every time I see him, he's in the studio, and it's something about his music and his grind, bro. He's building and building and building. By the time he looks up, he's going to have a wall. And then
one piece at a time.
Yes, sir, bro. And he's going to be fine. The kid's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
I'm proud to see where he's going. You know, I know where he's going, you know. I know things are set for him, so.
Yeah. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, and I'm proud to be a part of it, you know, just to be around and to like kind of help guide him too, you know.
Yeah.
As his therapist and like I was saying, it's like the OG too, like it's up to people our age to kind of when they kind of tighten up, hey, don't act that way, you know, don't do this, don't, you know, because it's important, bro. There's what's gonna, when we're 50, bro, we're gonna be voting on people that age to be our president,
pretty much. Yeah.
And you know, we're gonna, would you rather have a TikToker or somebody that, you know, that we taught? I don't want somebody TikToker with a ring light as my president, you know.
It's gonna happen, man.
Oh bro, I'd rather The Rock, you feel me?
A celebrity we actually respect.
Or you can't whoop his ass. One of the two.
Yeah, talk about a tough guy. Sure.
Right. Right.
We were talking about the Will Smith slap. It's like, if The Rock was the one up on stage, would you have gone up there and smacked
him? I put that up on my Instagram too. I was like, yeah, if it was The Rock instead of Chris Rock, he definitely.
Hell no.
He definitely would have done that. But I think he overreacted on that too,
he
bro.
Did, man. He
and
did.
I think my only problem with that, bro, honestly, because, yeah, defend your wife, bro. Defend your
For
wife.
Sure.
As a man, you should.
For sure.
But if your wife has your back like you have hers. And she don't got his back, bro.
At all.
She don't got his back. If she did, if that was someone said something about my wife like that, yeah. If it was The Rock, I might not have slapped him. Probably kicked him in the nuts.
He would have said something.
I'd have kicked him in the nuts. But, but yeah, or gone backstage and said something, you know, respectively. But man, like, but she don't have his back like that.
No,
if she did,
at all, bro.
Like I was saying, she ain't on side of him.
Mm-mm.
She's behind him with the whip directing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's not where it's at, bro. You can't build that way.
Yeah.
That happy wife, happy life is out, bro.
No.
Happy spouse, happy house, my boy.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, everybody has to be happy to build.
Yeah.
Has to.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise why do it?
Bro. You can't make someone else happy that's not happy.
Yeah.
Or that's not happy with you. There's no way.
Yeah, and I get it. He has kids with her and stuff, so it's kind of tough. But still, dude, like,
yeah, bro. I mean, the whole thing. If you travel it all the way back, bro, it's been a long time.
It's been a while.
Where she's been roasting him, dude. And I don't think. And for me, I love Will, bro. Like, shout out to Will.
Yeah,
I grew up on Fresh Prince and parents. Like, my parents don't understand and stuff like that. And to see him get dragged out like that kind of bothers me. Because, like, for me, he's just, like, low-key a role model, too.
He's
a, he's a good dude, bro. When have you heard anything bad about him besides this? If they were swingers?
His mom said he's never done some shit like that. Like, it was a surprise the hell out of her that he even did that. Like,
I mean,
it's not in his character to do
that. It's not. I mean, I don't know him personally. We don't know, but it's not from the guy we know, you know, but.
It's not the Will Smith I know.
But man, he was at his boiling point. He was at his boiling point. You couldn't tell him either and nothing, bro.
It was like the perfect storm. Honestly.
But man, the memes have been great.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
They have supplied us with a great amount of memes and gifts or whatever they want to call them, bro. They have just been, it's been unstoppable.
Been a sensation.
Bro, the internet is once again undefeated.
The king.
Yes, it cannot be defeated, bro. It's crazy.
Oh, man, that's awesome, dude. I think we're going to end it there.
Yeah, cool.
That was a good one. Yeah, it's an hour.
Oh, yeah?
Hell yeah.
Wow.
So where can they find your stuff online, man? Where are you on social?
Everything online on Instagram and TikTok is Clipsy Hustle. So that's where I'm at. You can find me there. And the shops, we're here in Tampa on Waters Avenue, 2917 West Waters, in between Himes and Habana. And I'm there 6 days a week, man, hustling.
That's plan A.
Yes, sir. Always.
Thanks for joining me, man.
No,
I really
thanks for
appreciate
having
it.
Me, man. I really appreciate you having me.
Yeah,
man.
Absolutely. You had a lot to say, man.
Well, thanks, bro. Thanks.
Yeah. This is going to do well. I have a feeling it's going to do well.
Thank you.
And for us, it's going to be Blue Box Podcast. We're on Instagram and TikTok, Blue Box Podcast. We kind of condense the podcast into 60-second consumable clips on there. We're going to post the video podcast on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, like, subscribe, share it with your friends. We're trying to build this into a platform that, you know, empowers people and it helps people realize that it's not that hard. It's not, you just got to get out of your head about it. So, we're trying to build the Blue Box as a platform. And, if I can have you say shout out to Blue Box to the camera.
Yes, sir. Shout out to Blue Box, man. Appreciate you guys having me, man.
Awesome, man. And, that's it. Thanks again for joining me.
Thanks. Yeah. Keep on your hustle too, man.
Hell yeah.
You're going places, I will. You're going places. I love the platform.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And until the next episode, thank you all for watching.